in a little bitty pool swim three little fishies and a mama fishy too.
Swim, said the mama fishy, swim if you can.
And they swam and they swam all over the dam.
Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo.
And they swam and they swam all over the dam.
Stop, said the mama fishy, or you will get lost.
The three little fishies didn't want to be bossed. The three little fishies went off on a spree, and they swam and they swam right out to the sea.
Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo.
And they swam and they swam right out to the sea.
Whee! Yell the little fishies, here's a lot of fun. We'll swim in the sea till the day is done.
They swam and they swam, and it was a lark, till all of a sudden, they met a shark.
Help, called the little fishies. Gee, look at all the whales.
And quick as they could, they turned on their tails. And back to the pool in the meadow, they swam, and they swam, and they swam back over the dam. In a little bitty pool swam three little duckies and a mama ducky too.
Swim, said the mama ducky, swim if you can.
And they swam and they swam right up to the dam.
Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah.
They swam up to the dam, now they might have to turn back.
Stop, said the mama ducky, or you'll bump your beak. The duckies all listened when mama began to speak. She said, ducks can do something the fish can't do.
And over the dam the duckies flew.
Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah. Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, wah.
They flew over the dam, then they all flew back.
Boop, boop, diddum, daddum, waddum, choo.
From a child's celebration of silliest songs, a Putumayo collection, that's Shelley Duvall, an oldie but goodie, Three Little Fishies. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're learning about lungfish, these amazing fish that can live even though there's no water. They don't have gills. They breathe, kind of like frogs. We're here today with Dr. Irina Salinas. She is from the University of New Mexico's Department of Biology, and she is an expert in lungfish. Let's go to Beth.
How old are lungfish?
So we think, and this is from the fossil record, these animals seem to have been around for about 400 million years, so they are very
old. Whoa, 400 million years. I just want to pause here and think about what was happening on planet Earth 400 million years ago. That's like early dinosaurs. Is that even before dinosaurs?
That I believe that is a little before dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, so they predate dinosaurs. They survived when dinosaurs did not. Why?
I mean, they can stay in the water, I guess, so that's one thing. Another thing that we haven't talked about, and this is, of course, why we study them, is that they have the largest genome that has ever been sequenced on the planet.
Whoa. The largest genome ever sequenced on the planet is a lungfish?
The biggest, by far. So it's 30 times the size of the human genome. So one of the theories, of course, is that because they live in water and land, they need to encode for every single metabolic pathway that allows you to live in water and allows you to live in land. But I think there's a lot more to that. The genome was only recently sequenced about a year and a half ago, and there's still a lot of research to be done to understand why they have such large genomes.
Let's go to Thaniel.
The lungfish has been around a long time. Why didn't more fish also develop lungs like the lungfish?
That's a great question. So there are many fish that have developed lungs. This is what we call convergent evolution, because this acquisition of lung or air breathing in fish has been acquired multiple times during evolution. So some fish can breathe air by adapting their swim bladder to becoming an air breathing organ. Some fish can breathe air by adapting their gut. Lungfish build these lungs or develop these lungs that are very different from ours in terms of the tissue they come from, but they're also very different from the examples I just gave you, like eels and others, where they use their swim bladders or other guts.
How are the lungfish going to survive if there are lots of dirty trash all around them?
Pollution, climate change. It seems like 400 million years, maybe they have a gene to adapt to all of these things.
That's a very good question, Max. Do you guys remember how I told you that there's Australian lungfish and South American lungfish and African lungfish? The Australian lungfish, they are obligate water breathers. So they need to breathe from the water. And those are the ones that are extremely endangered, because in Australia, all of the rivers are very polluted, as you can imagine, and they also have a lot of issues with drought. And so the Australian lungfish have suffered a lot from the degradation of environmental quality. And I don't think we have reports in Africa about this, but they definitely live in heavily polluted regions, Max, like Lake Victoria. Fortunately, we don't have any data that is tracking populations and abundance and impacts of human activity.
So it sounds like plenty of room for new biologists to study lungfish and learn a lot of new information that's just unknown about lungfish. So I'd really like to ask you, Dr. Salinas, about your cutting-edge research you're doing regarding this cocoon that the lungfish build around themselves so that they can survive outside of water. What have you learned about that cocoon?
This is one of the things that has made me the happiest as a scientist. You know, I told you before how the cocoon has been known for a long time to protect the lungfish once they are outside of the water from desiccation. So everybody knew about that kind of physiological function, but I am an immunologist, which I haven't told you yet.
An immunologist, what is that?
So I'm a scientist who investigates the immune system of animals, so how we defend ourselves from pathogens like bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungi that are pathogens, right? So for me, lungfish was like the dream project because it had all of this interesting biology. And we were, of course, really curious to ask the question, how do these animals survive outside the water for so long when they can't move, when they can't escape from any danger? So they must have superpowers, right? And we immediately thought that those superpowers were in that cocoon that I told you about.
Are they?
Yeah.
What's in the cocoon? So in other words, if they get bit by something but not killed, they'll still survive.
We don't know about predators yet. I'll tell you what we know. So the first thing that we have discovered is that the cocoon is not just a way for them to prevent water loss, but it's actually some sort of like external or extracorporeal immune organ. So what we discovered in my lab last year is that the immune cells, so the cells in your body that are responsible for attacking microbes when you get infected, thousands, millions of them go to the skin as soon as the animal leaves the water and goes on land and go into the cocoon. And now you have these immune cells that are wrapping the body of the lungfish, and they are there trapping bacteria so the bacteria cannot penetrate and infect the body of the animal.
Oh, so like the bacteria will try to come in, but the cocoon acts like a shield for its immune system. So it's actually trapping bad viruses. Yeah, Max.
How hard is a cocoon? And what if a rock that was really heavy fell down on it?
So the cocoon is actually pretty brittle. So that's why most of the time they're under the mud, so you don't have things falling on them. But remember, this cocoon keeps being made over and over by layer after layer. So if some layer gets damaged, this animal will be able to make another layer.
So it just keeps making the layers even while it's laying there for 5 years on the side of the river or whatever.
Yeah, so we have only studied within a few weeks of doing this. So we don't really know what's going to happen when we have them in estivation for a long time. We hope to answer this question really soon because I'm going to Africa next August to sample lungfish from the wild. And there, they will be going into the dry season early May. And so by the time I get there, late August, there will be at least 4 months into the cocoon. And then I'm going to study the cocoon and see if what we found in the lab is actually the exact same thing that is happening in the wild.
Wow. That is fascinating. Dr. Irina Salinas is from the University of New Mexico's Department of Biology. And we're learning about lungfish. This is Jim Stoltz right here on the Children's Hour.
Clear and cold, and the mountain streams are a flash of a fin and a shiny gleam. I said, that's not a fish, it's a submarine. He's a big fat fish, a big and bold, a big fat fish. He likes his water cold. He's a big fat fish, a swimming about, a big fat fish. He's a mighty bull trout. He got an appetite, put a whale to shame. He'll eat fish or ducks or a bug chow mein. There's a tidal wave when he wiggles his tail. If you eat that boy, he'd break your scale. He's a big fat fish, a big and bold, a big fat fish. He likes his water cold. He's a big fat fish, a swimming about, a big fat fish. He's a mighty bull trout. Wild rivers, and I think it's clear. Lots of trees, both far and near. They keep the water cool and give it shade. When he's splashing there, he's got it made. He's a big fat fish, a big and bold, a big fat fish. He likes his water cold. He's a big fat fish, a swimming about, a big fat fish. He's a mighty bull trout. Trout is one of a kind, search high and low, but you never find a mighty fish like him. A sakes alive, I keep it wild, and he will survive. He's a big fat fish, a big and bold, a big fat fish. He likes his water cold. He's a big fat fish, a swimming about, a big fat fish. He's a mighty bull trout. He's a big fat fish, he's a mighty bull trout. He's a big fat fish, he's a mighty bull trout.
It must be hard to be a fish, swimming in that little fishbowl, depending on me to keep you fed, clean and gold. I really want to set you free, but I can't seem to do it when it comes to you and me. There's something I'm in love with. Some days I feel I'm coming close.
This is Nina from the Children's Hour with a book report on Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, forward by Bundy Arwin, published by Rebel Girls. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls is a heartening array of stories about the young changemakers today, the people who are sculpting our future. This book consists of more well-known women such as Zendaya, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Bindi Irwin, and Greta Thunberg, as well as many you may not know. This book also incorporates sports players, activists, entrepreneurs, conservationists, musicians, and much more. In each of these profiles, there's a portrait of the changemaker who the page is dedicated to, drawn by talented and young draftsmen. This profile also has sections on what led to their genius ideas and or motivations. All in all, this book is an amazing and inspiring book for all ages. I give this book a 4 out of 5. From the Children's Hour, this is Nina, and the book is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, published by Rebel Girls.
Girls, girls, if girls ruled the world.
Girls, girls,
if girls ruled the world.
Girls, girls,
if girls ruled the world. Think about how different our lives would be in a matriarchy. Oh, how different.
Girls, girls.
Think about how different our lives would be.
Mm.
Our whole history. Oh, so different.
Girls, girls.
We would talk it all out. And all the future girls, 'cause we lead with love and we follow our joy. We potentially inspire not just girls but even boys, no matter how you identify. I just want to justify, if you give the girls a chance to rule the world, it could be super fly.
If Girls Rule the World is Joni Leeds from her release called All the Ladies. And before that, you heard Nina from our crew giving a review of the Rebel Girls Goodnight Stories, Volume 6, on young changemakers. And in the background of that was Poddington Bear. Fish was before that by Milkshake. In the background, you're hearing Wookiefoot. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Dr. Irina Salinas is coming back right after the break with more about lungfish. We've posted pictures and links and so much more to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Lungfish.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the County of Bernalillo, New Mexico. Many thanks to the users at tokenibis.org, who direct funds to the Children's Hour every week. keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.